problems about it. The Alter Rebbe, as we also have learned, was a brilliant scholar, but you were able to see, even at a very young age, that he has phenomenal talent and ability, and intellectual ability at a young age, was like beyond anything that they were expecting. And that was a generation over there in which, there were many, many great scholars. That was the big thing in those days, and so there were a lot of geniuses, there were a lot of knowledgeable people, and there were a lot of great people. But yet, even in that environment, still the Alter Rebbe stood up and shined. And the Alter Rebbe had to make a choice at one point when he matured enough to want him to go beyond his own level. He was looking for somewhere to connect where he could further his own experience, further his horizon. And at that time, there was a choice. You could either go to Vilna, which was going, or to Vilna, which was the authority, the greatest authority of that day. So we have many of the greatest kind of writings. He wrote a lot of very important footnotes. He went through a lot of Torah and commented. You find him everywhere. He's just gone over. He sort of went through some of the basic texts and he has put in some the code of Jewish law, everything. He's sort of left his mark on all the areas of the Torah. And that was the area of Vilna. But on the other side, you have the Maggid of Mezrich, who was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. He was, on the other hand, he was also a world-renowned journalist and scholar. But in addition to the revealed part of the Torah, he also taught the mystical part of the Torah. And when the Alter Rebbe had to make the decision where to go, he said, I already have somewhat of a knowledge of the opening part of the Torah. He's pretty confident. This is a I want to go and experience some of the wisdom of the hidden part of the Torah. And that's why he chose to go to the Magid of Mizrich. You know, the Magid of Mizrich wasn't as known as the Gaon of Vilna. Alter Rebbe being a great scholar, originally when he came there, he didn't see anything special. He almost turned back home. He almost went away. He went there for very little time. He couldn't tell right away, but he had prepared some questions, some ideas he wanted to ask. He wanted to test, sort of, wanted to make sure that he wants to take him as his Rebbe. He wanted to see how he was going to answer. But then, of course, as he was leaving, and he asked the Alter Rebbe and Magid of Mizrich conversed with him, he was totally blown away by the knowledge and the insight and the holiness of the Magid of Mizrich. So, title.
What?
It is on title.
Can you, what's it now? No, I don't want to use the big, I wonder if you could help me to put on a tablecloth. That's, I'm not.
I really have to do things. Here.
What? I don't want to use the grapes, but I'm going to use the grapes for the program.
There's been a lot. I don't know who's coming to that program. I didn't do it. I didn't do any advertisement. How else would you do it?
No, because he was busy with the upsharing. I was wishing that at the upsharing, other panel was here.
Yeah.
At the upsharing, they would like do a mitzvah for or something.
How do you say it? The lights open upstairs.
Oh, she came by.
Who came by?
The Ellie.
Yeah, his uncle died.
Yeah, how do you know?
Well, he mentioned it.
I'm happy to see, like, who does she, you know, come to? She comes from a very strong mother who pays Mustafa all her bills. And she divorced, and the minute there's something, you know, the kid manipulates the situation, runs to the father. It's not easy. Not easy situation. I feel bad, because lady is waiting for a present.
He wants to send the money, I don't know.
$50, I'll give him a goalie too. I feel bad. I just don't know what to do. I just, maybe, you know. Can you call me down a tablecloth?
Where's the tablecloth?
What time will the rabbi teach?
Who?
What time are you going to do your class? Are you going to start at 6 o'clock right on the time?
Thank you.
full energy of each item. It's like saying, instead of seeing the motor work, you actually get to see the electricity. You get to see how, you know, the power behind it.
Somebody who can, who knows, who's knowledgeable. Not to gain the knowledge, but to
Can I ask you a favor to step out of the kitchen? I need to wash the floor. I want an hour.
Well, no. You're being very rude. Not that I care.
Commissioned the Alter Rebbe, he set him up as being the the leader. Now, I want you also to realize that one of the hardships was not just regular responsibility. You had an entire religious community with a hierarchy which were opposed to the Hasidim. Being a leader of the Hasidim didn't just mean that you had to be a leader. It means that you had to take the wrath and you had to take on all of your own brothers and sisters who didn't yet understand what you are about. It was like a job that nobody wanted, you know? Nobody would want such a job, because can you imagine to feel other religious people will come and say, "Oh, you're not really Jewish. You're not really religious. You're worshiping." You know, we've heard that even in Chabad today. We've heard there's some groups that will say about Chabad that, you know, they're idol worshippers. They will say that. You know, some will say. Can you imagine what you feel if you have people working with other communities? My father, a blessed memory, used to tell me what he used to work. He used to work with even some other Hasidic who had an axe to grind against with Chabad about, you know, they didn't get along about, you know, it was a lot with the Satmars, you know, the Zionists and this and that. So, you know, the Rebbe, as we talked about, asked the girls to light the Shabbos candles. So they came out with those, I'm not sure if you ever seen them, they have those things that they distribute, they got better. But in the old days, they had those candles holders, so they would give them out, so they made them for cheap so they could just hand them out so that the girls can light the Shabbos candles. But you know, the Satmars, you know, or some other groups, they were opposed to this. You know, it wasn't their custom, and they wasn't opposed to it in a quiet way. So what happens? So they'd make a minyan over there by the where they worked. So they make a minyan over there. So the minyan, they had them together. Chabad, Sam, everybody, you know, whoever was there. There was a shop, it was all from Yidden. So they used to put, when you daven, you put in two candles before you daven. So you put in two candles. So it was a convenient way. Where do you put the candles? So they had those candle holders that they, to give out. The Satmar would not daven with that minyan, because the holders for the candles were of those that were made to give out for Mifsa Neshek, to give out for Neir Shabbos Kodesh. That was already Zionist, that was already Treif, that was already an extreme. So, but you can't imagine what it feels like to be considered by your own kind sort of religious, to tell you you are not only religious, but you are like the worst thing for the religion, right? Now, to stand up against that takes a tremendous amount of courage. It takes a tremendous amount of hardship. So what happened, to answer your question? So the Alter Rebbe, plus the other students, they weren't looking for becoming leaders, but they warned the older student. There was always the level of respect, and there was always the level of going up to the older gets first. So some of the older students of the Magid of Mizrich, after the passing of the Magid of Mizrich, they were the ones that took over, and they sort of became the unofficial leaders. The Rebbe, now the Rebbe calls them after the passing of the Magid of his Rebbes. And that was Reb Mendel Mevitebsk for Hardok, Reb Avram Kalisk. They were like the older students, and they were the ones that the Alter Rebbe sort of honored, and he accepted them, and he sort of calls himself their students. What happened was, these people went and moved to Israel. And the Alter Rebbe, we learned that, the Alter Rebbe wanted to move to Israel with them. But they were begging him, and at the end, the Alter Rebbe decided he's going back to undertake, and they gave him that section where it was infested with a fortress of the Misnagdim, of the opponents of Hasidim, and they told them, well, this is the place you gotta work, you know, can you imagine? We know it was the Alter Rebbe, it was Rebbe Yitzchak of Berditchev, you know, some of the names that you hear of the great Rebbes. They had a lot of tzuras. As you see, the Alter Rebbe was imprisoned two times, and he had a lot to, you know, a lot of troubles from these people. But again, to their defense, was something new, and it was something not, they haven't experienced this before, and they were worried. Maybe these people are, you know, some sort of a, you know, the Jewish people unfortunately had, at times, other groups that came later on to be non-Jewish groups that attached themselves to the Jewish people, and they took away a lot of Jews from their religion. So people were wary, people were afraid, people didn't know. This was something new, something different. We can't blame them, in other words, fully. But yet, it was quite clear, and as we said, the Alter Rebbe tried desperately, and there were people, leaders, that were trying desperately to bring together the Gaon of Vilna, together the Alter Rebbe, trying to smooth things out, to show that the Alter Rebbe said that he would go to the extremes just to try to prove the innocence and to try to show them that Chabad and the Rebbe's philosophy isn't at all against, you know, any traditional Judaism, on the contrary. And as we know and we see it, there's no, right now there's no question, there is, everything is very clear. So the Alter Rebbe reluctantly, after they left to Israel, reluctantly accepted and became the leader. Now, because the Alter Rebbe was not only brilliant, not only learned, and not only was he pious and holy and smart, everything else, but he was also had leadership qualities. He was able to attract a tremendous amount of following, and the group of Hasidim sort of increased, quadrupled and multiplied, and it just caught on fire, you know. So you had more and more people joining and becoming part of the Hasidus of the Alter Rebbe. Now, the Alter Rebbe had a certain style. That's why it's called the Hasidus Chabad. Notwithstanding the old followers of the Baal Shem Tov, there is a certain style, and most of the style comes through in the particular Hasidic discourse, in the way of study and learning which the Alter Rebbe disseminated. Because after everything said and done, the Alter Rebbe did various different things. He made a siddur, he made a mikvah, he changed, and he did a lot of different things. But yet, the most important thing that the Alter Rebbe kept on teaching was teaching Hasidus. That was the Hasidic philosophy and the Hasidic teachings. That has a certain style to it. That is considered the style of Chabad. That is the Chabad style of study and the Chabad style of learning the mystical parts of Torah. That style is not shared by other Hasidic groups. That was the style of the Alter Rebbe.
Do they have the Tanya?
They will refer, they will study the Tanya, but that won't be their Bible. But to Chabad, that's our Torah Shebiksav. That is our basis. To them, they have other things, but they study the Tanya.
The spiritual.
It's the book of the mystical and the spiritual teaching of Chabad. And one of the things of the Tanya, of course, there's a lot of the Tanya. Tanya has now 5 sections, and you know we're different, and we study all the time. And you know a lot of times it's a little bit over your head, it seems, a little bit, because it requires more than reading out aloud. That's just like the minimum, just to cover your grounds, to have read it. But it requires a lot of in-depth and intense study. The first section of the Tanya, in the very first parts, are a little bit easier, because as we're going to start studying it over again, once Yitzchak Kislev comes around, which we start the cycle again, over there, it really discusses mostly about how one can overcome certain obstacles in serving God. One to overcome depression, one overcome feeling sad, one overcoming the battles of one's evil inclination. Again, it's not like reading a book we're used to in the fast food generation, you know, just going and getting a sandwich and eating it and getting satisfied. And if it takes anything more than that, we can't focus and we can't stay tuned in. You know, everybody's running quick. But this study requires some, if you really want to get, of course, you know, you try to take out a point here and there and share it, but to really understand it, you gotta focus, you gotta study, you gotta spend time, and you gotta learn. But the Alter Rebbe explains basically the whole system, the way it works, you know, how is going on with the battles that go on within us, how one can help himself, what one should do, how one can become a better person, how one can become a better Jew, how one can do. But that's, again, that requires a lot of study. And the choir requires, I think more than study, it requires a desire. You know, I mean, the first step to finding a cure is, as it says, Yedias Hamachla, is an expression, knowing the sickness is a half of a cure. You know, first you gotta want to be cured, you know, and then if you're really serious, people in the olden days at least had problems that we don't have today. It's not that we don't have those problems, probably don't care about those problems. When people had problems, it means they felt that if they had, like, if they couldn't, like, feel anything in their heart to Hashem, to God, for them that was a problem. To us, it's not a problem, you know. We're happy if we, you know, we come to shul, we're more than happy, you know. That's already quite an accomplishment. You know, as we did in today's Hayom Yom, we did that. He says, in spiritual matters, he says, one should always look somebody who is on a higher level and say, you know what, I'd like to be there. You know, I'd like to get there. On material matters, one should say, look at somebody who has less than you and say, thank God for what I have, because there's somebody that has less than me. So you, everything you got to put in perspective. You got to put everything, you know, where you're standing. But the Alter Rebbe, you have to know, was good, he was kind, he gave blessings to everybody. And same thing is about our Rebbe too, but the Rebbe mainly, what his main, you know, unfortunately we're living in a generation which people called the Rebbe to make an operation. They wanted to know whether they should start a business, they wanted to know how they're going to be successful. But that, those were secondary, that's not the primary function of a Rebbe. That became the, by default, I mean, that's the people were around us, and we got to do that too. But the main focus, the primary job of a Rebbe is to be an inspirational guide to help people in their spiritual uplift and bring them closer to Hashem, which the Rebbe is doing through all of his shluchim. Now, also, you know, you got to reach out to people. Now, if we didn't talk English, then you don't have an audience. So you gotta, and this is the key to Chabad, and I think maybe this is the distinction, so people don't understand, what's the distinction between Chabad and some other movements in Judaism, which also try to bring in the unaffiliated. Because in Chabad, we may bring the message in English, in French, we bring it down in various different levels. We will use everything, but you know what? We don't change the message. The message remains the same. We're not changing anything. It is the language that we talk. It is the way we reach. We're going to use anything that is used in the world, the technology, to reach the people, to get them to pay attention, to grab their minds for a second so that they look at it. We'll use that. But what do we give you? We don't sell you something to give you. We sell you the same Torah. We don't sell you not one iota. We don't compromise. We don't tell you. We just bring it down to a level that you can sort of understand it, and you should be able to appreciate it. Whereas the other organizations, they say, oh, we've got to reach these people. We're going to water it down. We're going to lessen the requirements. We're going to say that you don't have to do anything. No. There's no such a thing. You have to. The requirements are to water down. If you can't have mixed seating, you're not going to have mixed seating. Well, oh, if I have mixed seating, I'm going to have 20,000 people in here, because then you won't stereotype you. They won't say that you're, yeah, okay. But you know what? If I'm going to have mixed seating, then it's not going to be the Torah. Then I'm giving you something else. I'm not going to give you something different. We stay strictly faithful to the original. We don't change the code of Jewish law. We don't change it. Times don't change it. What we change is the way the message is delivered. We change the delivery message, and we utilize everything. Now, that doesn't mean that there's an expectation that everybody can follow, everybody could follow or should follow, because it's self-understood. None of us have the same experience. You know, if somebody grows up in a in an environment in which this is what they know.
Yep, I'm coming.
On one chair pushed under the table.
Part of the holidays.